they said, look, Al, we're going to let you go. I became jobless. I didn't know what was going on with my ankle. And you think, you know, this is our livelihood. You know, this is what we live off. We've got to pay bills. And we were praying one night and God gave me a word of knowledge that the next team that we're going to go to, teammates are going to be saved. You're going to start Bible studies in that new team. And then right at the end, God gave me a vision of the Wickham badge.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. We are here with Alex Samuel, a member of the British soccer league, the Wickham Wanderers. As you'll hear, Alex suffered a major injury, which he and everyone else thought would end his career. But God had a very different plan, and that plan is being played out very publicly for God's glory. But before we get into that, welcome again. We spoke a little bit before the recording started, but I am so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
So to begin, where are you from, and did you grow up in the church?
No, I didn't grow up in the church. My parents weren't Christian. So I was brought up in Wales, brought up in a little town called Aberystwyth, which is like right on the west coast, middle of nowhere. And I had a great upbringing, you know, I was a very happy child when I was from, you know, until I was born, until I was around 10, 11 years old. But it was that point where my parents went through a really bad breakup. My dad moved away and it was a really tough place. You know, I got a disabled brother and it was just very dependent. Felt a lot that, you know, was just chipping in, helping the family out. But, you know, it was a really tough place, you know, really hard. And every night for some reason, I wasn't brought up in church, but I felt God with me in my bedroom. Mm. I knew he was there and I would pray every night and I would just experience. So this is like how I'd like to explain it. I fell in love with his presence, but I didn't know him yet. And I just knew God was real, but I didn't have the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was, what he's done for me.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the whole background. I would experience God, you know, near enough every night when I'd pray to him in these really tough seasons of my life as a child.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it all started.
Wow. Wow. Were your parents full-blown atheists?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were still like, no, there's a God out there. I feel him.
That's yeah. I just knew he was real. And then from that moment, I would just pray and just wherever I was, I just started developing this relationship with God. So then when I got to around 16, and obviously I was playing football, but in a very low level at that point, a team that I loved, Swansea City, wanted to sign me when I was 16, which was amazing for me because I loved Swansea. And Swansea at this time were in the Premier League. Mm. So it was a massive step up for me.
Was this still in Wales or was this an English team?
Still in Wales. So this is still in Wales, but Wales, Swansea plays in the English league. Quite confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite confusing. But so from that point then, I was playing for the under 18s and trying to work my way up. But I moved to Swansea then. And the amazing thing, my godparents went to a church in South Wales and they said, come along. And I was like, yeah, great. I want to kind of understand, like, I believe in God. I pray, I talk to him. And, you know, and then it was that moment then that kind of I started learning and loving and knowing who Jesus was. And again, just falling in love with him. And it took me probably a good few years, you know, like getting all the rubbish out, so to speak.
Yep.
It was kind of a real purifying time of God was just so patient with me and working through things. So that kind of was the foundation really of how I came to faith. And again, the main thing for me, just a relationship with your dad, you know, and that that comes down to it, you know.
So because your dad, your earthly father, had moved away, was there like a wound there? And was there something that God had to do to change the way you thought about fatherhood?
100%. You know, my dad moved away, but we're still in contact, but it did leave a huge hole. And I've been praying about it recently. God's been sharing so much, and it's such a good thing to sometimes, if there is a place, give it to God, and God will show you what he did in that moment. Right. And he said to me, as your father left, I came in.
Mm, wow.
And it was just a beautiful moment. When he told me that, I was in such tears because it was so true. You know, it was kind of because he left, he came in and he nurtured me. He comforted me in those young, dark years for me. So it was just a beautiful moment. So it really set a strong foundation in my faith with him.
So what was your professional trajectory leading up to the injury?
So obviously there was so much that I went on. In soccer, you get loaned out to teams, and that means you're still part of Swansea, but it's kind of like you're playing for another team for like a year or something, or 6 months. So I did that a few times. This is the amazing thing as well. In South Wales, I met my wife there in the church as well. Mm-hmm. And the most amazing thing was, it's a really amazing church, dancing. It's just so free. And it was the first experience of church I was like, wow, this is amazing. Right. You know, we went, had coffees and teas after, and I saw Rachel, my wife, and mm-hmm. God said, that's your wife. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I was like, she's a good looking girl as well. I was like, I'm happy with that, God, you know. And but it took her a year and a half to realize that, you know. It was a lot of patience for me, you know. It's kind of funny that Jacob waited 7 years for Rachel.
Right.
So this is where it came to this point of the injury that I had. And this is how amazing God is in the small details of all our lives, you know. So in 2017, I got married and it was beautiful, but we decided to move to Stevenage. So the best way I can explain it, so that's a team in probably north of London. Okay. They are probably the lowest team in the football league in England, you know. Okay. So it was quite a step down, but it was professional football. It was a great opportunity for me. So 3 weeks before getting married, we were told that we were moving 3 hours away from Wales, which for us, 3 hours is a long way, I know.
Right. I'm like, okay.
For Americans, it's like, oh, it's just down the road. But 3 hours is a long way. So we packed our bags, we moved over, and that Stevenage experience was a real prison season. It was a very tough season. Even before my major injury, I was plagued with injuries, and I think we can all relate that there's seasons in our life that we go through that is just so tough.
Right.
Desert seasons, you know. And God showed up so massively in a few things that he did. And this is the mad thing. So late in 2018, then halfway through the year, I kicked the ball normally and something flared up in my ankle. And I just knew something wasn't right. Months went by. Nobody could find out what it was. They said it was bone bruising. You know, it was a really tough time because I wasn't playing. We didn't know what the injury was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were asking God, what's going on? And I had an incredible prophetic words. The church I go to, my pastor is Sharon Stone. So the whole church environment is very prophetic, which is so important as well, I think, for the church, you know. Mm-hmm. In this amazing word I had was, what the enemy meant for harm will turn for your good.
Amen, yes.
What the enemy meant to destroy you, it will be turned around. So I was like, right, okay, no matter what happens, I'm clinging to this word. So months went by, and this was the crazy thing about football, you know, it's so temperamental, it's so reliant on your performances, and I wasn't playing at all, and I was in the lowest league. So just to get a concept that this isn't looking great at the moment. And we were coming to the end of the season. And this is the mad thing. So Stevenage decided, they said, look, Al, you've been injured. We're going to let you go. So I became jobless. Mm. So, and again, I didn't know what was going on with my ankle. I was now jobless. And you think, you know, this is me and Rachel, my wife. This is our livelihood.
Right.
You know, this is what we live off. We've got to pay bills. And it was such a time of trusting God, you know, and we all have that choice in those moments to go, do I trust God if I don't, you know?
Right.
And you just got to keep going to him no matter what.
Exactly.
And this is the mad thing. So we were praying one night and we were worshiping God and we were like, God, we're going to just trust you. You know, we're going to trust you with this. And, you know, even through all of this, we're believing. And God gave me a word of knowledge that night that the next team that we're going to go to, teammates are going to be saved. You're going to start Bible studies in that new team. Whoa. So I was like, wow, okay. And I was like, okay, this is amazing. And then right at the end, God gave me a picture, a vision of the Wickham badge.
Wow.
And that's where he gave me a picture, a vision of the Wickham badge. Mm. I said to Rach, I don't know why, but I've seen Wickham. And at that time, Wickham were getting promoted to the next league, a higher league, into League One.
Yeah.
So I was like, God, this is going to have to be a miracle. Like, this has to be an absolute miracle for this to happen. But I just let it go. And my agent rang me a week later saying there could be a team that might be interested. We're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who is it? And he said, Wickham. And I was like, no way. I was like, oh my gosh, God. I was like, okay. God is doing something in this, you know? So, but then that was the last time I heard of Wickham for a long time. And that's the mad thing. And in this time, we were still understanding what was wrong with my ankle.
Okay.
And then one night, God gave me a dream, exactly what was wrong with it. In the dream was quite very detailed, but I'll just state three things or a few things that actually came true in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in again, I went on this physio bed, and the club that I was previous, the physio at that, in the dream was sorting out my surgery for some reason, my previous club, which didn't make sense, but that was in the dream. Then I went on the bed, I looked around, some surgeons were cutting into my ankle. And removed this black gunk, this horrible gunk, and it was placed in my hand. It was burning my hand. So I knew it was like, this is a weird dream. Like, I know God is really speaking through this. And then later on in that dream, this black gunk turned into this pink precious jewel. And I was going around sharing my testimony with everyone, saying, look what God's done in my life.
Wow.
And it was such a picture of what this black gunk that was meant to destroy me and harm turned into this pink, precious, amazing jewel that we would be able to share with people. So I was like, okay. And the mad thing, the dream was in Wales. So we were going to, in the real life now, I know this is a lot, but in real life, we were going to doctors. They couldn't understand what was wrong with it. And they decided to do a steroid injection in my ankle just to see how it is. And Rachel, my wife, she's very discerning. She was like, this is not right. But we had to go ahead with it anyway, just because this is what the doctors were saying. But we were praying. We were like, no, God, we just need to do the right thing in this because it was a pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned up. They scanned my ankle once more and they said, we've picked up something. It's a chip bone in your ankle that needs to be removed, extracted out.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, this is amazing. God is doing something amazing in this.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, for some reason, my Swansea physio sorted out my surgery just in the dream. And it was done in Wales, which is weird because it was so far away. And that's the mad thing. I even forgot to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
So the stone was taken out. Have a guess what color it was.
Black or pink?
Pink.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Did they let you keep it? You should have kept it in a jar.
I wanted to. I was half passed out and I was like, I want to keep this, please. And they were like, no, we got to get rid of it. I was like, oh, okay. But there we go. It would have been a bit weird if I kept it going round, going... But yeah, so in even the detail of the dream that I had weeks ago before all of that, God already knew and sorted out the plan.
Right.
It just shows how amazing God is. And even in the tough times, he's got it planned out already for us. And we just got to journey with him and do life with him, you know? So obviously I had my surgery in Wales. It was all done. It was all sorted. But at this time, I had two professional clubs come in and offered me a contract, which was a huge thing. And we prayed, me and my wife prayed, and God said, no, say no. I've got something better for you. And it was such a step of faith. It was such a jump off a cliff moment, because it was so, you know, again, I was out of contract. I had no money coming in, just such a mad time. After that, in the summer, I went back to Stevenage to get rehab. And at this time, the new season started to kick back in. So, you know, all the teams were preparing for the new season, all kitted out their team. They were all ready. So I was like, God, this is going to have to take a miracle for me to find somewhere. And a week before the season started, I remember going to church, and after, my agent said, Wickham, I haven't heard anything of Wickham. The only thing I have is a trial game at this very low club, which was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Like, this doesn't make sense, God. But that night, Wickham came in and asked me on trial to come in on trial that very last moment.
Wow. So for the non-athletes, what is trial?
So trial is, you're going there to be tested to see if you can get a contract. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a guarantee contract again. So I had to go to Wickham, which I was like, God, I'm claiming my promised land in this. Like, I know you've got this for me.
Right.
And the amazing thing was it was such a battle in that time as well, because the enemy was so on me, going, whispering, saying, the manager's going to turn you away and say, we don't want you. Mm. It was such a mental battle, but you just had to keep pressing in and believing for that promise.
Right.
And the manager kept inviting me back. And before you know it, they offered me a contract. And that was amazing. And it's such an incredible moment. But this was the start of my Wickham career, which is incredible as well. Mm. And I'll just run quickly what God did at Wickham. I had teammates. We started Bible studies. We had two teammates get saved who didn't know God before.
So just as promised.
Exactly what he promised me. And the most amazing thing is seeing their lives getting touched by God and transformed. They've had family members saved. Wow. It's like an incredible outbreak, really, of God's spirit here.
Mm.
And then it led to this year then. And so we are in League One now. We were the lowest budget in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And God said he's got special plans for this team this year. And before you know it, with all of this happened, we ended up in such a good position. We played in playoffs and we got promoted to the next league.
Wow.
Which is amazing. So we are now in the league below the Premiership. So we're one league away from Man United, Chelsea,
wow.
Man City.
Wow.
So this is how amazing what God has done. And it's just been such a testimony of, you know, in those moments where your back's against the wall, you feel like everything is crumbling around you, just knowing that God has got a plan for you.
Yes.
He will never let you down. So that's kind of my story of how, and even to the post, I felt God say to me to put something, a small thing in my testimony online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, wait for a bit. And that time I put it up, it just blew up. I mean, on Twitter, on Instagram, and I would never have thought my testimony back in those Stevenage days where I was injured, I had no hope. I think it reached, on my Twitter thing, 5.4 million people.
The hand of God, man. Wow.
It's just the goodness of God. Mm. And it's just his faithfulness. And just knowing that, I think what it comes down to for me is I've such established that he is such a good dad.
Yes.
You know, and he wants the best. He's got the best plan of our lives, you know, and it's just about going through the good and the bad, but just always sticking with him and knowing that he's good, you know? And I think that's the key. Because we all go through, like I said, we all go through seasons of tough seasons. And the enemy wants to always make you think he's a bad God and he doesn't have good plans for you and that he doesn't have a future for you, but he does. Mm-hmm. He really does. And he can turn anything. Honestly, I've seen it. He can turn anything for good.
Literally.
And he's done that in my life. And I'm just so grateful to have that relationship with him.
Amen. I do think that is definitely key, the goodness bit, because I think even with facing temptation, so often it's like, is it true that he has a better plan? Is it true that he has a better alternative to this thing that I want? And the enemy's always, of course, trying to confuse us and make us think that something is good and it's not. And something else I think about often is good versus better. Like, there are some things that might be good, quote unquote, in our view, but God has something that's so much better, and trusting that can be so difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I think it reminds me of that time where I had other options.
Yeah.
And it would have been so easy just to be, you know, and the pressures that I was having from my family and people who couldn't understand, it was massive because they were like, you've got to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always in those moments of decisions, and we all have big decisions, always just to commit them to God and just ask God, look, God, what do you want for me?
Yeah.
And he'll always speak, like, go where peace is, you know, go where that peace is going.
Right.
And that's helped me massively especially in my professional football walk with him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So since becoming so vocal about your faith, have you gotten pushback professionally or just personally?
You know what? Wickham is such an open place, which has been so amazing. And we've been allowed to, you know, even before games, we pray. The amazing story is we decided to start praying on the pitch before games. And we started with 3 people and we ended up with 11. So that's near enough a whole team.
Yeah.
Praying in a circle, worshiping God.
Wow.
It's just so amazing. But persecution, yeah, you know, being bold, you're going to be persecuted. And I've had, especially through these last few weeks, a lot of persecution through people, you know, and it's okay. I expect that. I understand that,
right.
You know. And again, it's just like Jesus says, expect it, you know, and God's just given me a grace for them people and to bless them and to love them, you know. At the end of the day, we're called to love, and that's the most powerful thing.
So obviously the goal of each game is to win, but underneath that, is there a deeper purpose? Is there a kingdom purpose in this for you?
My kind of goal in football is, number one, to make God famous in this industry.
Amen. Yeah.
And to reach footballers who could have everything in life. You know, you get paid so, you know, some footballers get paid so much money, mm-hmm. but still there's an emptiness because they don't know Jesus.
Okay.
And it's about showing that what really matters in life. And it's about having a relationship with him. And that for me is my heart, to reach out to footballers and just to show God's goodness in that, you know. And that for me is the most important thing.
Amen. Thank you so much. I know this is going to encourage so many people, and I think it's just awesome to hear how God is moving across the world, because I feel like especially now the world feels kind of small, like it feels kind of relegated to what you can see. And I think it's so important.
Definitely.
Hearing these sorts of stories from far off, across the pond.
Yeah. Across the pond. Yeah, again, just to encourage anyone who's listening, whatever you're going through, it can look so hopeless, but trust me, God, if you stick with God, he will never let you down, and he's always got a way out, and he will always make a way. He will always turn something that was meant to harm you for your good, and he really does that.
Yes. Gunk into a jewel, always. You can connect with Alex at the link in our show notes. As always, be sure to check out our ministry at thengodmoved on Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. I'll see you guys next time.